Welcome to another episode of the Evolved Idiots podcast. Today with me, I have Chancellor Kay Jackson, who has written a book, 14 Days in Beijing. Chancellor, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, man. Blessings and balance to you. Blessings and balance to everyone that's tuning in right now. Appreciate you for having me, family.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I saw your story, you know, I read about you online, and I was like, you know, that's an interesting, not just an interesting story, but it's one in some ways I can kind of relate to, you know, because I've done a little bit of traveling internationally, and I guess my real connection to this too was like many, many years ago, ironically, when I was first out of college as well. I was about 30 days from going to Korea to teach English, and I had something happen in my family, and I ended up staying here and not going. But later, many years later, I had the opportunity to do a little internet, you know, traveling and so forth. And, you know, cannabis has been a big part of my life. And so, and it's never really been, until the last few years here in the States, it's never been legal. And so there were always these kind of concerns, but a place like China is especially kind of harsh and authoritarian. So I was like, this is like one of those episodes of Locked Up Abroad, sort of, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely wanted to bring you on and chat about it a little bit.
For sure. Yeah, man. It's a great story. It's a roller coaster of emotions. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very enlightening at the same time, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before we get into the whole story, like, tell a little bit about your background. I mean, you grew up in Georgia. You've got a background in college athletics. Like, this is another thing that I like. You know, you're a graduate of from Stetson with communications and media studies. Tell a little bit about that journey too, and just your background, and kind of set the stage for this, because it's one of the things that, you know, I kind of struggle with is this stigma that comes or has traditionally come with, you know, the connection to cannabis. And I think it's important to show that, you know, it can be a part of a healthy lifestyle. It can be a part of an active lifestyle. It's for people who are very driven, very motivated, who actually do go out and accomplish things in the world. So just tell a little bit about your background, growing up playing football, going to school and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised. Played football for 9 years. I started playing in eighth grade and continued my career all the way to the collegiate level. I played DB, for those that are football fans. I'm a true DB. That's the only position I played. Corner, free safety, strong safety, nickel corner, you name it. That's the only, you know what I'm saying? I played every position in secondary unit. it was a grind just to, you know what I'm saying, find the school to go to play at. Just cause I wasn't recruited. I had no looks, you know what I'm saying, by my senior year, nothing like that. So I ended up getting the opportunity to play at the next level, you know what I'm saying, just through my efforts alone. Me pushing myself, promoting myself and marketing myself to college coaches and different schools and stuff like that. So once I finally found a home, Stetson University was it, and Stetson was a vibe. It was completely taboo because Stetson is a PWI, it's a private white institution, small school on top of that. So it was a reality check for sure, just because it's not what I was used to. But I'm from Atlanta. You got to be like a chameleon, you know what I'm saying, in Atlanta. You got to be able to adapt to your environment. So I was able to adjust and adapt, and I found my circle. And it was still a grind in the process, far as just from a football aspect. But, once it was all set, I accomplished a goal that I always wanted to accomplish. I was content. I was at peace with everything. So once football came to an end, it was like, okay, now it's like, damn. All right. I gotta relook at everything now, because like I identified as a student athlete and a football player for so long. So now that's no longer the case. It's like, damn, bro, who are you, Chance? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know where to start. Like, what to do, what I'm gonna do next? Like, I have no clue. I don't know what I want to do. Nothing. So it was just that's when the real journey begun. You know what I mean? Just re-identifying myself. Then, you know what I'm saying? That's why I just started applying for jobs and landing interviews, getting flown out, the whole nine, you know what I'm saying? Getting told no, you know what I'm saying? Companies and jobs I'm applying for is all corporate positions. Mm-hmm. I did this for 8 months straight until I decided to take a reapproach of my job searching and started looking for opportunities more geared towards social work. And that's based more globally versus just domestically. And that's when I came across the opportunity to teach English in China to kids. Mm-hmm. Applied. Ended up getting a job. First job to tell me yes after 8 months of applying, being told no from American positions. You know what I'm saying? So It was no if, ands, or buts about it. It was like China. I was like, I'm back home now. I done graduated. I ain't got nothing going on. First job to tell me yes on the other side of the world. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I always had an interest in China since I was a kid. So it was just full circle. Like it was no if, ands, or buts about it. So I was, that's how I ended up out there for sure.
What's Tell people a little bit about that process, because I don't know if it was different for you, but when I was kind of walking through that process of looking at going abroad to teach, it's a little bit, it's not always very clear what you're getting into sometimes in those situations. Like it is kind of like, this is what you're offered. You come and you do you teach and you're just going to have to kind of figure it out as you get there. There's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknown. You said you had an interest in China. Was that, did you have a strong knowledge base of like the culture and that sort of stuff before you went over?
Not at all. Like, in the introduction of my book, I'll take us back, flashes back to an early Saturday morning. I was a kid. I'm like 7, 8 years old. I'm downstairs eating breakfast with my mom and my brother. And my mom asked my brother, now she said, what's 3 places in the world y'all want to go? And I make sure that we go. Immediately at my mouth, China. She was like, crazy. Like, why China? And I'm like, that's where everything's made. And literally, that's the only reason, only interest I had up China, just because I'm like, bro, you look at the back of any product, it says it's made from one place. So I'm like, as a kid, I'm like, bro, why is everything we have here made from over there? Like, what they got going on? What's going on over there that we don't got going on over here? Like, they own something over there. Like, all the product is made over there. I got to go over there and see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So I was always interested in China just from that aspect, just from like just a merchant aspect, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Just like, they got a lot of, they got something going on over there that we don't. You know what I mean? So just 15 years later, you know what I mean? Came across the opportunity, applied, and then got the job. I was like, damn. It's like, damn, bro. Like, we here. Like, we finna do this for sure, for sure. Yeah. My mama, she was like, yeah, I remember. She brought that flashback up to me. Like, once I told her, like, yeah, I just applied for this job for China and I landed it. Yeah, I think you should do it. And then she just, Ram said, just brought back that flashback. Like, yeah, you remember the conversation we had? I'm like, damn, that's crazy. Like, it's worldly for sure. For sure, it's universal. For real.
So what is it? What is it like? Because my understanding is that, you know, you originally wanted to go. Your first preference was, I think, Shanghai.
Yeah.
And there was a cost for a ticket. And, you know, I can relate to this because those plane tickets are super expensive.
Crazy.
And they insane. And they offered you a flight to come and work in Beijing. So Beijing, to my understanding, is a little less loose, I guess, with the lifestyle than Shanghai. Shanghai is a little more corporate, a little more capitalist, a little more, you know, Western influenced there. What was it like when you got to Beijing, you know, just the experience before, you know, the whole incident occurred and everything?
China was the best experience I've ever experienced in my life. Like, I miss China fondly to this day. Like, it was the ultimate adventure. For a young graduate from college, you know what I'm saying, that's already adventurous and spontaneous naturally and optimistic, you know what I mean? And that's hungry on top of that, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, it was everything. China was absolutely amazing. The people were nice. My job was smooth. The kids was lit. Me and the kids had a blast. We was lit every day in class. Meeting the different foreigners, meeting new people, you know what I'm saying? It's like, how many, one is, like, but we in China. Like, I could have met y'all any place, but I met y'all here. So it's like, it ain't even easy to get over here. So it's like, the fact that I met y'all here, I'm just interested to know more about you and just your story. It's like, what led you to come here? You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like for an individual to come here on just the type of time that we're on, it's like you just going through a phase in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like you just not really sure. So it's like you just wanted to try something different and get, you know what I'm saying? Just get a feel for something else and to help you, I guess, understand what it is that you truly want to do when it's all said and done. So it's just, I just found it interesting that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's a similarity amongst all of us foreigners that's pretty much over here teaching. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it definitely is just interesting meeting the other people. The food was crazy. Food was so good, man. Food was dope. Like China was a great experience. Like I enjoyed every second of it for sure. Just being someplace different, you know what I mean? And the simplest things we could think of that we do in our everyday lives here, it's still the same thing over there, but it's drastically different just because I don't look like these people. I don't speak language. So it's everything's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be a little bit more patient as well. Just cause, you know what I'm saying, it ain't gonna be as instant as you want it to. It's like, man, I can't read this. I don't know what this is saying. Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? What you saying? I don't even know what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? I know enough of the language to move and groove, but far as having an in-depth conversation, oh nah, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was just a challenge. Every day it was just a challenge. You know what I'm saying? If you are an individual that can thrive off of challenges, then I highly recommend you live abroad at some point in time of your life.
Yeah. I would agree with that. You know, even thinking back, like, I think it takes a certain kind of individual, like a certain mindset, a certain personality. Like you were talking about the people that you met there that were also, you know, foreigners from another place. I think there's something to that adventurous mindset, that willingness to kind of go out and discover and kind of wing it, because that's a lot of time what you're really doing out there is you're winging it as you go. I think it makes like for a lot of growth, you know, meeting those kind of people and learning from their previous experiences as well. You know, I think it really makes a difference. And I couldn't agree more if people have the opportunity, even if you can't go live abroad, just go travel, get outside your comfort zone, go somewhere where you've never been before. You know, it makes such an impact on your life moving forward from your perspective about how you see other people. Because it's like you said, everybody really has the same, you know, wants, desires, basic things. Really, we just all think about it differently. And it's like, if we could just realize that we all really have the same needs and wants and things that we're trying to get out of life, like, I think it would be a lot smoother. But you mentioned also that you didn't know. So you had kind of a basic understanding. How much of the language did you know? Because I can remember before I went to Iceland, I lived in Iceland for like six months or so. And I remember going there and being very arrogant and saying that I was going to pick up Icelandic while I was there. And I ended up learning like maybe 10 words while I was there. It was very difficult language. And then I spent some time in Spain, and I had like 3 months leading up to going to Spain. And I remember like just doing Rosetta Stone and listening to these Spanish things. And, you know, I kind of got to the point, I think, where you're saying you were, you know, where I could go out and order food and, you know, do the things I really needed to do shopping and things like that. But I was not going to have a conversation like you and I are having.
Yeah, it's not happening.
How much did you have? How much did you speak before you actually went over there?
Like my, I was using an app that's called Mango to learn, and it was teaching me different vocabulary words and sentence structures and stuff like that. And I had like a whole notebook. I'm taking like, I'm real deal, like studying, like I'm back in school. Like I ain't even go this hard in Spanish class. So, you know what I mean? So I'm talking about basic dialogue. It has to be very, very basic. Like, you know what I'm saying? How I'm teaching these kids English is very, 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 very basic. We're not having nothing truly, truly in depth. It got to be the generic questions for me to be able to comprehend it and answer, or, you know what I'm saying, or respond to. But aside from that, and it's also hard because if I'm talking to another foreigner that's, you know what I'm saying, we practicing our Mandarin, then for sure it's a lot easier then. But if I'm talking to a native Chinese person, oh man. Now you're throwing in native, their their specific dialect from where they're from, and then the accent is like, oh, I have no clue what you just said. Like, but I feel how any foreigner here in America would feel. You know what I'm saying? That don't really know our language.
Right.
You know, especially meeting somebody that's really country, you know what I'm saying? Like really, really country. And it's like, oh, they, you know what I'm saying? They speak a lot of Ebonics. It's like, whoa. I don't know. About, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I see how the foreigners here in America feel. You know what I'm saying? I was able to make that connection and sympathize a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I can sympathize a little bit more for them now, being back in America and coming across those that can't really speak English. Hey, man, I got even more patience. Like, trust me, I know exactly what you're going through. It's not fun. It ain't fun. So, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to try to make it harder for you than, you know what I'm saying, it needs to be. But yeah, I just knew just basic dialogue. Basically.
Yeah. So what was that process like when you would go in and teach the kids? Did the kids have an understanding of, I mean, you're teaching them English. What was that process like trying, because you're kind of limited in their, you're very limited in their language. They're obviously very limited in your language. What's that like making that connection?
So we, any student that wants to enter school, we have them take like a pretest, and based on how they score on that pretest, all right, this is where you at as far as your knowledge of English. So we're gonna put you in this course here, you know what I'm saying, because this is the level you on, and we're gonna start from here and you're gonna work your way up. So that's how everybody starts, and every child's strengths is different. You know what I mean? You got some that are, man, it'll blow your mind how well they can speak. You got some that's like, it's quiet for them, they don't know. They lost themselves. They have no clue what you're saying. They don't really look like they're interested in learning either. So it just depends on the student. But every class is different. Well, it's the same. It depends on if you're working with, I mainly work with the younger level learners. So I'm working with it, 3 to about, I say max, probably 8 years old. So really the elementary school age range. You know what I'm saying? So
are they hyper? Are they just like American kids, the mad hyper?
Kids are kids, no matter where you go. Yeah. Kids are kids. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go over here. These kids going to be very disciplined. I ain't going to have to do no coloring. I ain't really going to have to do nothing. Nah, kids are kids, no matter where you go. Where you go. You know what I'm saying? But if you can match their energy, you know what I'm saying? It's lit. And I'm 25, but then I was 22, 23 years old. You know what I'm saying? So, we was lit in class. We had a blast.
Nice.
But yeah, every class is about an hour roughly. We warm up, review whatever vocab was introduced in the last lesson. Then we introduced a new vocab for this lesson, practice it a little bit, play with it a little bit, have them use it. Okay, now let's get the book work in so you can practice your reading and writing. And then one final review of everything, and then send them kids back off to their parents. And next load come in, we do the same thing all over again. You know what I mean? So that's just pretty much how the system works. And our busiest days on the weekends, just because I work for a training center, not an actual school. So when the kids weren't in school, they was with us. So after school hours, we busy. Weekends, we jumping. We jumping.
Yeah. So outside of the school, what was your normal day like just living in Beijing? What was your routine like? What was that like? What was the lifestyle there?
Once I was fully acclimated, definitely hit the gym as part of my regular routine.
Do they go to the gym a lot?
Oh yeah. They got some, so they got fitness junkies out there. Yeah. For sure. I'll be the only foreigner in the gym.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll be the only foreigner in the gym. But it's still cool because it's like, man, I'm in a gym in China. Like, this is crazy, bro. Like, I'm not, like, it's mind boggling. Like, you think it's something just so regular, which it is, but it's like, man, it means everything at this point in time right now. Like, I'm like, if people back home was able to see what I'm seeing right now, folks would just made minds would be blown. Like, but that's crazy. Like, damn, bro. Like, it's just so different. But yeah, gym was dope. Really just exploring. If I'm, you know what I'm saying, not at work, I'm hanging out with coworkers or colleagues or peers, or I'm just exploring Beijing. You know what I'm saying? Just exploring. And of course, we were smoking a lot out there too. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that was the best. That was one of the best things to the experience as well. At least that made the experience even better. Just being able to get high and let's go explore Beijing. I'm not from here. You're not from here. Oh, this is gonna be the ultimate adventure. Then what? Oh man.
Yeah, yeah. People have this conception that, you know, there's the joke that, what is it? John Stewart or somebody says it, that it's like, have you ever done this on weed? And it's, you know, it's the idea that everything you do is better on weed. And, but you know, there is something to exploring it. Now, when you got there, because I think people also don't understand that when you've been a long time consumer of cannabis, it's like any other supplement. You know, you're supplementing your at different times of the day depending on when, you know, you consume. But what was it like when you first got there? As far as when were you first introduced to it? Is it something you sought out, or did it just kind of fall into your lap? Because it happens both ways, you know, because you get around somebody who is a smoker, especially, and more than edibles and things like that, but a smoker, it's kind of a little bit of a culture to it. And yeah. You know, you're going to get introduced to it if that person accepts you and trusts you, you know?
Definitely. Well, especially where we at. But yeah, it's crazy. Like going into China, I'm like, I already made it up in my mind. I'm like, this is strict land. I'm entering.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to find it. That's the impression. I'm not even going to be able to find it. So I'm not even thinking about it. I'm not worried about it. I got to get adjusted to this alternate lifestyle. That's my main focus and priority. And then I'm talking about, we still in training. And one of my people I was in training with, she came like, so I came in, it was a group of like 28 of us. Half of us showed up the first day. The next day, the rest showed up, and she came in that second group. So we already in training. They just jumped off the plane, and they brought them straight to training. And she had on a big 420 hoodie. Man, I'm talking about 420 going on plastic. The me logo. I'm like, whoa, she is wilding.
She's gonna be a teacher.
Yes. I'm like, we're gonna be training. She got this on. I'm like, oh, she's bold.
Oh,
she's
bold.
I'm like, I like her character. Like. She gonna, you know what I'm saying? She stands on what she stands on. Like, I respect that.
I would not wear that in China.
It'd go crazy. We had a little break, so I put it to the side. I'm like, hey, bro, I like your hoodie. I like your hoodie. Like, you both having that on. And she was like, oh, yeah, man. Da, da, da. She was cool, man. Cool, down to earth chick, man. Like, solid spirit.
Where was she from?
She was living in Seattle.
Okay.
So it was completely recreational.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she was like, hey, I got some THC capsules. I got some pills. I put them in an Advil because they were blue. I put them in an Advil. But I was like,
of course.
Advil. You trying to pop one? I was like, yes, let's do it. So we was in the hotel room. We went through a whole day. We back in the hotel room. We popped and we just talking. Hers kicked in a lot faster. So she was already up there. I'm like, damn, bro, this shit is not worth it. I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying? It's going away. So she leave. So I'm just sitting there playing the game. And the next thing I know, boom, it hit me hard. I'm like, whoa. And that's when reality really settled in. Like, bro, you are far as fuck from the house, bro. Like, like it's like, bro, you are like, bro, yeah. You're far, bro. Like, you're out here, bro. Like,
on your own.
Yes, bro. Like it's when it really settled in. Like, bro, you out here, bro. Like, if something happened to you, it's over with. Like, it's going to be a minute to, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody's able to respond. Cause like, bro, you hours away from just anybody you know personally. So it's like, it was just reality. But I still enjoyed myself. I was just in the hotel room, just out of my mind, just playing a game, listening to music, and just vibing out. And then after that, I still wasn't even looking for it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, that was just a one-time experience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful for it for sure, because I didn't even think I was going to be able to get high out here. So now we done transitioned from training. Now we in our actual centers that we're going to be working in. Now I'm amongst my coworkers, and it was another female. She's from Atlanta. And she asked me one day, she's like, hey, you smoke? I'm like, what you mean? Yeah, I'm like, these folks out here smoke cigarettes. I'm like,
that's true.
I'm straight on that. She's like, nah, like herb. I'm like, what? Say swear. Yeah. I'm like, say swear. She's like, for sure. Link with us after work. So after the shift, me, her, and another colleague of ours all went to her apartment, and what they had was hash.
And she had been there a while. They had been there a while. 3 years. Okay.
Both of them been there about 2-3 years. So wow. Here I am. I'm fresh. Me, I'm a freshman. I'm an upperclassman. You know what I'm saying? So the upperclassman, like, come on, man. We finna put you on game. I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit. So, you know what I'm saying? This is a venture for me. So what they had was hash. For those that don't know what hash is.
I love some hash. Explain it, though. Explain it. I love hash, but explain it.
The keef that's on the bud, it's tons and tons of that just compacted into just one solid rock. So it's very, very, very potent. Man, I'm talking about, they rolled up, and we just smoking it. I'm just in disbelief, like, but I never would have guessed I'd be in China smoking. Like, this, I'm just like, but I never would have guessed I'd be out here geeking. But this shit is lit, you know what I'm saying? It's lit, it's everything. And y'all cool as hell, too. So it's like, that just became like a little routine. Every now and again, we'll go back to her spot, burn, and then we'll go on about our day. You know what I'm saying? And now, then,
were they concerned at all about, you know, any police or surveillance or anything?
It seemed like they had, like I said, they've been out there for years and they've been doing this. This is when they first rodeo. You know what I'm saying? I'm like they have supplies. They already got their little system set up. So I'm like, okay, y'all know how to move.
Right.
Y'all know how to move. So it's like, who better to show me the ropes than y'all? So I'm going to take the blueprint y'all already laid. I'm just going to follow it for myself. So now I'm getting connected to the suppliers. And you know what I'm saying? I'm purchasing the hash for myself. And every exchange is just smooth. You know what I'm saying? And I will go to work, come back home, eat, get faded, go to sleep, do the same thing all over again. On our day off, we get faded and go explore. That's all we're doing. We're not harming nobody. we living our best lives. We young, wild, free, in a foreign land. It's lit. It's lit. You know what I'm saying? It's lit. So that's just how I came across it, and you know what I'm saying, just got fluctuated in it. But yeah, but I was, like I said, I was the whole time, damn near, I was out there. I was smoking the whole time, basically, you know what I'm saying? Everything just went left to my last, you know what I'm saying, the last 14 days. And it was just my last 14 days just because I got arrested. I was supposed to be here.
Right. So did you exclusively smoke with foreigners
always foreigners. I didn't even
curious if it would be, because it would be, I would be very hesitant, I think, to openly consume with a local, because they have a very strange policy about kind of reporting each other for things.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Man, I just met some solid individuals. It was Christmas, and we all put in money for Airbnb, and Airbnb was hard. Player. I'm talking about, this Airbnb was so hard. Like, it had, like, 9 rooms. It was crazy. It was crazy. But we had hella liquor, food, and, of course, I brought the smoke, you know what I mean? So everybody drinking. And I'm like, hey, y'all ready to smoke? And it's me and probably about 3-4 other foreigners in our like recruiting class that like really, really smoke for real. At least been smoking out there since we've been here. So they're like, oh yeah, let's do it. So we all go upstairs. But of course, with us four being pretty much the life of the party, like we all go upstairs, so everybody goes upstairs with us. Well, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see how this play out. So we pull it out and we just start rolling it up. And like we had Chinese people in our recruiting group, you know what I'm saying? And you could just tell like they energy, like they was a little bit on edge, like, oh snap, like these folks, like you could tell, like. But they were still cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Energy is everything.
Yeah.
Energy is everything. Yeah. So, like, our energy with it and, you know what I'm saying, just how we going about it is, like, you know what I'm saying? It's really no, it should be just peace, love, and prosperity and harmony right now. It should be no, animosity or no anxiety. No, it should be none of that. Just you ain't got to partake in it. Just watch.
Yeah.
And you'll see how, because y'all never did it before. So watch how us Americans do it and just see how vibrational it is. And literally, I'm talking about folks that you wouldn't even thought would smoke. Like, hey, let me hit it. Just because they see us and like, damn, that shit look kind of cool. Like, they just vibing, right. Having great conversation. And I ain't the individual just be saying small talk. No, we're going to talk about something. I'm going to tap your brain. Like, we're going to have in-depth intellect. We're going to talk about some shit. So it's just like, okay, I got music playing. I'm just saying, it's a vibe. Wow. So I'm like, okay. I can just tell, like, their perspective changed for just a little bit, but they still stuck in their ways for sure.
Yeah.
But they just had a different outlook on it, just because this one experience. So that was probably the only time I was like with natives,
in
the smoke. But aside from that, I was with foreigners.
It's interesting how the people that stand out when you're one of the very few foreigners or something in a place, it's very interesting how you can stand out and how, you can kind of draw attention. I also find it interesting how the different cultures have, the different governments have really approached the war on drugs differently. Like from my perspective, Iceland had done a really great job of propaganda and, honestly, most of the population was really against it. Again, I had friends from college that I knew there, and I was in with the right crowd. I was probably in with the, less than, I don't even know how many people there smoked, but it felt like we were the only ones that smoked really. But, I can remember, even being out at the clubs and, if you brought it, if you mentioned it to a girl, like they may. I saw one, saw this happen more than once where they would just like kind of get turned off when you would bring it up. Like, let's go back to the house, to the hot tub. Let's smoke a little bit. And they'd just be like, other places, like Spain, it was really big to, mix it with tobacco, was something they did a lot, which took me a minute to get used to. But, I'm not a big fan of that. But what was the actual quality there, like in comparison, to the States,
as far as the quality of the flower.
Yeah.
I only smoked actual bud. I want to say twice.
Oh.
every other time.
Gotcha.
The first time I had actual bud out there, I met this dude. It was crazy. It's a story just how I met. Cause we went out to a club. The same girl that, put me on with the CAC caps. She's like, oh, snap, Jada Smith is out here. He having a concert. Let's go. And I'm like, I'm really straight on it. I ain't trying to do this. She's like, no, let's go out. I bet. So, and we ended up popping some more pills that night too. So I ended up getting introduced to this Chinese dude who worked for this magazine company. He saw me. He's like, I want you to model for me. You look beautiful. Da, 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 da. I'm like, shit, let's do it. You get to be in a magazine. Let's do it. You ain't said nothing but a word. So fast forward, I'm at the photo shoot. And one of the other models, he's from Africa. He's a foreign exchange student. He go to one of the universities out there in China. So me and him, the only color dudes. So of course we hitting it off. And he was, he's like, hey man, you smoke? I'm like, shit, yeah, what's up? He's like, oh yeah, we'll burn one for sure. So some days that passed, he came to the department, and he had actual bud. He rolled it up, and we smoked it. We smoked it in my apartment. We just smoking. And I'm talking about, this wasn't no, this was not the best quality of bud at all. But it's been so long since I actually done smoked it. I was out of my mind.
Yeah.
I was out of my mind. Like, we was in the apartment just like, couch potatoes, everybody just silent, listening to the music, just enjoying ourselves. And I'm just reality kicking in more like, damn, bro, you are really enjoying it. Like, you were out here, bro, like, you so far from home, bro, like, damn, bro, you out here. But it's lit, though. It's lit. And the second time I smoked bud was, it was crazy. I hit up one of my suppliers. It was a drought. It was a drought like crazy. And if they did have it, the prices for, the smoke was through the roof. So I hit the plug up one time. He's like, yeah, but we ain't got no hash. It's been dry lately, but I do got some actual bud. Got actual bud. So I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, the hash is different now. So it's like, and you know what I'm saying? The price for the hash is way better than the actual bud. And the hash lasts probably just as long. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, damn, I really want the hash, but I ain't got the hash. So I'm like, I'm contemplating, like, should I get it? I just say, fuck it. I was like, fuck it, I'll get it. And literally, I copped the flower, and I want to say, not even like a couple days later. You know what I'm saying? I was smoking, getting ready to head to this event. And
oh, shit. That was the flower.
Yeah, actual flower. You know what I'm saying? But it's still, I'm smoking out a little pipe. I ain't roll it up, none of that shit. Got incense burning. You know what I'm saying? Just I'm doing my typical routine, but it's like I have flower this set. You know what I'm saying? This time I actually purchased flower. And the time I actually, you know what I'm saying, do smoke it for real. That's when the story pops off. What's in days of Beijing?
So do you think the flower and do you think the hash or the flower, like maybe it was more potent when you smoked? Because even over here, you worry about like your neighbors, yeah, maybe. And so like, you know, if they smell it, you know, your neighbors, maybe that's, do you think that was a factor or?
Because now that I think back on it more, it's crazy. I had this conversation with my partner. Yeah, I was with my partner. And I was just explaining, because he thought I was just smoking weed, like actual bud, the entire time I was out there. Like, nah, right, we smoking hash. The time I actually bought weed, that's when everything popped off. So it's like, I do feel like, shit, yeah, it was the actual bud. Because I'm like, I was smoking hash the whole time and everything was peaches and cream. Mm. I was absolutely fine.
It's a different aroma when it's in the air than flour.
It really had no smell. My mama came out of China and we finna get ready to go to the club. Me and my roommate, like, hold on, mom, we finna smoke before we slide. So she's just sitting there watching us. And she's like, damn, that ain't no smell or nothing. I'm like, yeah, no, no smell or nothing.
It's much less smoke as well. I mean, you're consuming less, you know. Yeah.
And then we'll mix it. Only time we'll smoke the hash straight up is if we made a bong out of a water bottle. That's the only time we'll smoke it straight up. And not, like you said, mix it with tobacco, or we'll mix it with a hookah. With hookah
those. Right, yeah. Woo. Hookahs are nice.
Man, sky high, no cap. But yeah, so I definitely, yeah, when I got that bud, when I actually purchased bud for myself, that's when shit went left. Yeah. That's when shit went left.
So we're super close. We're right on the verge of getting into the story. But before we do, what was your impression of the surveillance in general in the way they've ingrained it in their society? Because I don't necessarily want to get political or anything, but like there's a lot of things that are sort of transforming here in the States that have people concerned in some ways, as well as with big tech and things collecting our data and so forth. Like what was your perception of what China's setup is like?
China been on all of that before, you know what I'm saying? Everything we're doing now, we got from China. You know what I'm saying? All this coming from China. QR codes, the apps and stuff, taking information. China been on all of that. It's been going on over there. China just then locked themselves out from, you know what I'm saying, the rest of the outside world. So it's like, unless you have a VPN, you can't access just any site you want to. You can't get on Instagram and Facebook like you can here in the States, just freely and willingly. No, that shit won't pop up unless you have a VPN. You know what I'm saying? They got their own version of WhatsApp. Everybody know what WhatsApp is. You know what I'm saying? They got their own version of that. And that's you. And literally, you can do everything on their version of WhatsApp. You can pay bills. You can buy tickets. You can like anything. You can do anything on, you know what I'm saying, on that thing. So that's, and with everybody being on that, that's how they able to track and keep up and monitor what's going on. Because they done completely monopolized everything. It's like, man, this is it. So it's like, you got to go. You know what I'm saying? But even, like I said, I had a blueprint given to me from the old heads, and I was following it. So as far as just surveillance and stuff, I honestly feel like, you know, nothing's out of the ordinary, too out of the ordinary for me. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't nothing crazy. I still felt like I was moving. You thought I was in America the way I was moving. You know what I'm saying? You thought I was in America the way I was moving. So, it was different for sure. I knew I was conscious. Like, yeah, eyes are on us for sure. But, you know what I mean? It's still a hell of us over here at the same time. So it's like, they got to, man, you going to sign an agent for every single person that's over here? I highly doubt that. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? So, I really wasn't too pressed or too concerned about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where they've kind of, my understanding is that it's kind of continued to evolve to the point where they kind of have now this social credit score system, essentially, affects every aspect of your life. If you put down a post the government doesn't like, they could ding your credit score, essentially. And so, I just was curious, you know, how much, you know, because there's a difference between going somewhere and being the only foreigner and kind of having eyes on you because people are curious versus, or they're not sure, you know, they just are, it's the unknown versus knowing that eyes are on you because somebody's just waiting for you to screw up, slip a little bit so that they can, you know, hit you with something. That's a different kind of feeling. And I was just curious what it was like, because my perception had been like, there's these surveillance cameras everywhere. And like, you know, I was just kind of curious as to what that was like.
No, it was, I wouldn't say I felt any, like, I'm being watched. I didn't get those type of vibes at all. Not any of these. But definitely, I know that credit system you was talking about, like, far as just, like, individual, that shit is real. I remember they even was teaching us that in training. Like, I'm like, damn, okay. So I know my shit fucked up, for real.
Got zero.
My shit is bad over there. So I'm like, I know I done fucked all that up on me.
Yeah. So let's get back to it. So you've bought this flower. It's the rare time you get flower in China. And you spark up and they just basically walk into your house. I mean, there's a knock at the door. It's like,
random.
Did you ever find out for sure, like, why, who, how they found out?
And that's still a mystery to this day. And I get asked that question so much. I'm like, man, I have no clue. I don't know. It could be a number of reasons. So it's like, to be able to just, you know what I'm saying, single one out, it's like, man, it could be. Ain't no telling. You know what I'm saying? It could be a number of different reasons, but yeah.
So I don't want you to give away your book, because people should read the book. But like, what kind of is going through your mind a little bit, you know, when they come in and you're like, you kind of play it off a little bit and you think you might get away, they might leave for a minute. And then, you know, the moment hits you and you're like, nah, I'm kind of fucked. Like, what's going through your mind from that transition from I might get slide by to I'm fucked?
Once I realized it was over with, it was just accountability at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm from Atlanta. We live by the finesse. We die by the finesse. But you live to finesse another day. So I'm going to see him finesse. And I'm just going to hope that, you know what I'm saying, I can get away with it. If I can't, then it's like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get a die by the finesse and it is what it is. All right, I'm caught red-handed. I hold myself accountable for sure. It's nobody else to blame but me. You know what I'm saying? I can't get mad at nobody. So it's like, for sure. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. So it's just like, really just a sense of accountability. And then just like, damn, I don't know what's going to happen. How this shit going to play out? Nobody knows this is happening to me and ain't nobody explaining anything to me. So I'm just like, shit, I don't know. This shit is real though. It's getting real for sure. But, hey man, just remain positive, bro. Just, you know what I'm saying? I know I'm going to be good when it's all said and done. Yeah. This is all I'm thinking. I know I'm going to be good when it's all said and done. How? I don't know, but I know I'm going to be good. Just take note of every minor detail. This is going to be a great story to tell once you're out of this predicament. I said this to myself, dead ass. I'm like, this is going to be a great story to tell once you're out of this predicament.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, enjoy this high one last time, because we don't know.
That's not happening again for a while.
We don't know what's going to happen. So enjoy this high one last time, man. Just hey, take it all in. Really live in the moment.
That's one of the other things that was kind of surprising to me is it wasn't just that they, you know, kind of caught you in the act of smoking, you know, not really, but like they there was suspicion there. It's yeah. really the pee test, right? Like even if you don't have anything on you, even if you don't have you're not high at the moment at all, if you test positive on the pee test, they could still arrest you. Is that right, correct?
Yep. That's why I was like, rather if I had the cannabis on me or not, I still would have been fucked because I would have failed that drug test. I've been smoking the whole time I was out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have failed regardless. And I would have been arrested. So it was like, I was damned if I did or damned if I didn't. So it really ain't make no difference, to be honest. You know what I mean? So, you fail the drug test. Oh, yeah, it's over with for you. Over with for you. And they can do that at any point in time. You can be in the club, anywhere. They can drug test you randomly anywhere. So it's like,
wow.
Yeah, that shit
is
great.
That's the probable cause is not needed. Not even a fake probable cause. They don't even bother with that over there.
This is gonna let us know for sure. So say about that finesse. This is gonna let us know.
Yeah. So they come in, you're arrested. You've talked about already the language barrier is somewhat, once it gets past basic, you know, essential conversation. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was amazed at reading the book was the fact that you really kind of stayed calm and positive, like in your mind, like while you're going through this. And I'm just thinking, man, if this was me, I'd be like, I'm never going to get out of here. Like I'm going to be a political prisoner for the rest of my life, or I'm going to get put in some, you know, giant prison that's got mud floors, and I'm going to get in a Chinese gang fight and get killed because I'm not a fighter, probably, you know?
Oh, me. Yeah, I'm just, well, one, I was still high out of my mind. So that definitely played a part of me still being calm. But just me naturally, you know what I'm saying? I'm very laid back, easygoing, very chill. So it was like shit, it is what it is at this point. And I knew the last thing I need to be doing, a man of color with locks, being arrested in a communist country for drugs, the last thing I need to be doing is being belligerent, rebellious. That's not going to help my case.
It's true.
That shit going to make shit worse. So calm, cool, collected, and compliant. That's four C's. I'm like, I'm easy. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make this. Energy is everything. Like I said, energy is everything. Yeah. And that's a part of the finesse too. You know what I'm saying? I can't really finesse the situation, but I, you know what I'm saying, as far as like how this outcome gonna play, but I can like ease the overall tension just based on my energy and my behavior.
Yeah.
So let y'all know I ain't on nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying? We ain't on that type of time. So, for sure. Like, come on, man. Let's be cordial for sure. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep it peaceful. Let's keep it peaceful at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think, you know, too often, sometimes we want to take stands about things at the most inopportune times for ourselves, and it doesn't always work out so well. What was it, you know, I think it's also interesting to point out in the book when you're going through this process that there, you know, here there is at least there are laws in place, at least in the states, that are supposed to be followed that inform people when they're arrested of what their rights are, what they're being arrested for, when, you know, what they're looking at, what they're going to get out. You didn't really get any of that over there. There was no they didn't take time to find someone who kind of spoke English well enough to convey any of this to you, what was happening. When I even thought about when you were signing documents on your release, even entry and release, like, you know, you're signing these documents. No one seemed to take any time to explain anything that was in that. You could have been signing a confession for and accepting a sentence of life in their prison for all you knew.
Yeah. I was just, there's, they got the saying, there's no why in China.
No why.
So
doesn't matter, right?
I mean, it's just like, far as how in America, you have the right to be told what you're being arrested for. You have the right, just as America, we get, why this, in China, it's like the military. It's like football. Coach say, get your ass down on that line. We can run these gas. Damn, coach, bro, why we got to? Oh, my God, coach, you trip. It's none of that.
None of that, yeah.
There's no why in China. When they walked me to the to do the official interrogation, they walked me down to that chair and unlocked that chair. And they just opened and looked at me. I'm looking at them like.
That's a terrifying chair you describe.
Like, y'all really want me to sit my ass down? They just. Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and sit down. You know what I'm saying? There's no why in China.
And for people who maybe haven't read the book yet, like, this is not like the way I envision this chair is it's not it, sitting down a chair is fine, but this is a chair that has like secure clamps on it. So when you sit down, it really strikes me. The first thing that comes to my mind is like an electric chair. Like you're being like, it's a strap, like you're strapped into this chair so you can't go anywhere. And it's like, look, I'm in a jail in a room full of like security people. I'm unarmed. Like, what do you think I'm going to do?
What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying?
It's like the torture room almost that I'm being set up for is what it feels like.
Yeah, I had no clue. But I just knew in my spirit, I felt they weren't on that type of time. But then again, I'm like, I could be wrong. That's just my optimistic side coming at me. I could be wrong. But hey, I'm just going to hope for the best. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's that thing like my legs, like my shins, thighs, waist, chest, arms, all in one place. Only part of my body I can move is my head.
Wow.
So I'm doing my whole interrogation just locked into this chair. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it just, you know what I'm saying? It's no why in China. It was me not explaining anything to me. The whole process, like, I had no clue what's going on. There's no why in China. Yeah, you just do it. You know what I'm saying? We're just doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Do what you're told.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, literally. Do what you're told.
So what goes through your mind? They take you in like as you're in that cell. And I have in my mind, you know, as I was reading the book, I sort of have this image of the cells you were in. But can you describe a little bit like what those conditions were like? Because it seemed like it was a cell, but it wasn't. It was pretty dirty. It wasn't very clean. Sanitation was kind of an issue. Like,
it was bad. It was bad. So pretty much.
I so related to you about the roles. Like, so much on that.
Man. So the cell pretty much is like a big rectangle. Like, the ceiling was high. The ceiling was high as fuck. So it ain't like we can just jump and sit. Nah, that shit was up there. And that was probably the most lengthiest part of the cell, just from, you know what I'm saying, length-wise.
Mm.
Like, far as just width, it wasn't that big. It was just like a perfect rectangle to house 15 people. And I was locked up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 15 people to one cell, 9 wooden beds. We had 3 meals a day. All of them was some form of soup, essentially, and bread rolls. And for 14 days straight, all I had was one plastic bowl and one plastic spoon. Nothing, no toothbrush, no toothpaste, no soap, nothing. Just plastic bowl, plastic spoon, 14 days straight. Locked up in the cell, 14 other Chinese men, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that struck me too was, you know, through your conversations with people that you were in the cell with, especially, you know, the Chinese individuals.
Yeah.
It almost seemed like, you know, it was common practice. Yeah, I'm in jail for a couple of weeks. I got in trouble for this. I'll go back to work and go back to my family and it'll be fine. You know, like it seemed like it was almost common occurrence from their perspective, or at least that's kind of how I perceived it, that, you know, people get picked up, they get arrested for stuff, they get let out. It happens all the time here. You know, it's just what it is.
Yeah, it was like, far as the actual natives, like their process was, it was a whole lot. It seemed like you said, just so simple. And you know what I'm saying? Just like it was a constant just cycle. It was a cycle, like, show for show. And literally, I'm talking about only There's only two Chinese inmates that did like more than 10 days. Every other Chinese person, the max they did was five. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, five. There's only two that did more than 10. So,
yeah. There must be like an industry. This must be making the government money somehow, like cycling these people in and out of, you know, constantly surveilling, arresting, cycling them in and out.
And because the Chinese folks is getting arrested, they getting arrested for the most pettiest shit, driving without a license, fighting, stealing. You know what I'm saying? Just the smallest things, prostitution. You know what I'm saying? It's the smallest things. You know what I'm saying? You ain't nobody murdering nobody, stabbing, robbing. You know what I'm saying? There's none of that going on. So it's like, damn, how many folks arrest? I'm like, damn, these folks will lock you up for anything out here. Like, it's crazy. Like, China don't play. China doesn't play. And then getting introduced to the other foreigners. So the first 3 days, I'm the only foreigner, only English speaker in the cell. On the fourth day, which is chapter four, they moved me to another cell. And now I'm amongst two English speakers. So now I can finally communicate after 3 days of just me being in my head. And that's when the shift within the story happens. And then I can connect a lot more dots as far as just how this jail works, how this process works. Do I know how long I'm going to be here? Hell no, I still don't know that. But at least I have a better idea how this process works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But even like the other foreigners, Lenny. Lenny was, you know what I'm saying? He was Chinese American in the book. He was arrested for weed as well. but Victor, he was arrested for teaching. And I'm just like, hey, huh? Like, you got arrested for teaching? But you know what I'm saying? Of course, he was not on the proper visa. He didn't have a working visa, but still, it's like, damn, bro.
You'd think they'd just send him home for something like that.
Like, come on, you gotta do time for that. And the job that hired you knew you wasn't qualified, and they still hired. So, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's like, yeah, China don't play. China doesn't play. It's different over here for sure. Like,
yeah.
It's different. It's different.
Yeah. Have you been in touch with those gentlemen since you got out? Yeah.
Yeah. Victor's birthday was just a couple weeks ago. He's still back in Brazil. You know what I'm saying? Lenny, he be back and forth from America and China still. Ironically,
he still goes. Okay.
Hong Kong. That's as far as as close as he can get. You know what I'm saying? But he be back and forth pretty frequently. But yeah, I said, man, them lifelong relationships. We could have met each other any place. We met each other in the Beijing Detention Center. Oh, but we homies for life. We homies for life. We homies for life, man, for sure. Oh, yeah.
That kind of pressure situation and uncertainty and just it builds a relationship and a tie that it's like a fast tracking a childhood friendship into a really short term period of time almost the way it bonds you.
And the quote, you know what I'm saying, misery loves company.
Yeah, yeah.
Misery loves company. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, we all miserable shit. We got each other though. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So it's not as bad versus if I would have did the whole 14 days isolated, I probably lost my mind. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably would have lost my mind. Cause you know what I'm saying? Spending time to yourself is good, but too much time to yourself can be detrimental to your psyche. I feel like, you know what I mean? I just, especially you're not communicating in addition to that. So you just really, in your head, you sitting there going back and forth with yourself and your conscience and, you know what I'm saying, your higher and your lower level spirits, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like that, you know what I'm saying, that can, man, send folks off the deep end if you spend too much time in just a setting like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to find balance because I find that in today's world, I feel like we're never in that moment, you know, everybody's got their computer or worst case, or at least their cell phone that they're always on. And there's always like stimulation. And most people really are not alone with their thoughts anymore very often. And I think it's, you know, it's one of the interesting things about cannabis, as you mentioned, some of the you had these kind of profound sort of moments of realization when you did, get high the first few times over there or consume the first few times of your situation. And I think it's also very interesting to see how like psychedelics are sort of expanding into that as well for a lot of people to be able to break through that kind of mental barrier, so to speak. I think there's a lot of potential there. But so at the same time, I do think that, you know, isolation can be good. I think, you know, being alone with your thoughts and facing your demons, so to speak, whether it's through meditation or whatever, like, it's important to face them. But like you said, complete isolation for too long could be a bad thing, could be detrimental.
Especially just depending on the individual, where they are.
It's completely yeah. dependent on the end. Everybody's different.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? I would have handled it better than the average, but it definitely would have had an effect for sure. But, you know what I'm saying? I've just been isolated completely those 14 days. Yeah, it would have, man. Because I was going through it. The first 3 days, I was going through it. You know what I mean? I was going through it. But, you know what I'm saying? Just still strong, though. You know what I'm saying? Still strong-minded. You know what I'm saying? Just hoping for the best. And, man, that's, you know what I'm saying? The things just take a turn now. It's okay. Now it's a little bit more harmonious, but it's still a fucked up scenario. You know what I'm saying? We got a little bit better, but, hey, man, it's still the same old BS. So it's like, man, just taking it day by day, honestly. You know what I'm saying? Just trusting the process. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's outside of my control. I can only do so much at this point. So I'd be driving myself crazy trying to control what I can't. So it's like, hey, man, just trust the process. Trust the process.
Yeah. Another interesting character that's in the book is, I can't remember his name now, was the guy who fought the officers.
Rhino.
Yeah. Seems like the kind of guy that you want to have on your side in a situation you might find yourself in a situation like that. Seems like the kind of guy you want on your side. But also could be very easy to maybe flip. He didn't seem to ever have a whole lot to say.
Nah, I mean, he couldn't, at least far as with me, you know what I'm saying? He don't speak English. He only spoke. So Rhino he's from Russia. So he only speaks Russian or Mandarin. That's it. So I'm like, only time I can really communicate with him is if Lenny or Victor translated. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's the only time I could really communicate with him. But it's just crazy. Like, when I first seen it, when I first entered the cell, that's the first person I saw. And I'm like, this might look crazy as hell. But I didn't keep in contact for long. So I saw him. We locked eyes. I looked away immediately. I'm like, what these folks got me into? I'm like, man. We don't see.
yeah.
We'll see. But he ended up being real, real cool. Like, I don't know. Like I said, energy is everything, I guess. So, man, he just seemed aggressive so much at first, and it's like, as his time progressed, man, you just see a whole other side of him. It's like, this man, he a big ass kid. You know what I'm saying? He a big ass kid. So it's like, okay, you cool, bro. Like, you really cool. So you just don't want to get on his bad side, like you said. You don't want to get on his bad side, because he'll take it there for sure. And he ain't got nothing to lose. Nothing. Yeah.
His situation was really interesting it seemed like his situation where he couldn't go back home. Mm-mm. So he was in some sort of situation where somebody basically wanted him dead back home. Some politician or somebody in a position of power wanted him dead. So he couldn't go back home. So if China was going to arrest him and send him off, they're not going to send him most likely to the country of his choice. They're going to send him back to his origin country, which he couldn't allow to have happen. you know, it's really one of those situations that you read about, you know, in the news usually, that, you know, has a sort of a tragic end to it, or there's a huge corruption story that breaks out of it. It would be very interesting. I clamor to kind of that, like, that. I feel like there's another book there for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's his story? Like, who does he have dirt on? Like, that could, you know, be really interesting to know, because people do get in those situations and, you know, you're in a lose-lose situation. You can either keep getting in trouble in China and hope they don't eventually get you through on that airplane.
No, facts. And you just speaking on, I'm like, man, if he would have been able to speak English and just knowing my spirit and how well I can connect with people and people just open up to me just easily, I don't even got to do nothing. I'm like, I guarantee you, I would have learned his story.
Yeah.
I would like, if he spoke, if we was able to communicate fully, just me and him, oh yeah. Best yeah. believe I've been able to unpack all of that. Cause I'm like, bro, that's crazy. Like, your situation is like, man, that's the type of shit you see in movies. Like, yeah. you know what I'm saying? So it's like, bro, that's your reality. Like, how do you even come to the, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, just being able to, and I was still able to get a lot of background on what took place, but it's like, just far as what I've been able to pull away from him, just, you know what I'm saying? Just, it would have just been me talking to him. Oh yeah. Like you said, it'd probably been a whole nother book, the show for sure.
Yeah, his story in the jail with you is almost like the beginning opening of a movie where, you know, the main character's like in a foreign prison and like a Jason Bourne type character who goes back to avenge the yeah. or Mission Impossible kind of situation. Do you have any idea what happened to him out of curiosity? Because he kind of just walks off in the book and that was sort of it.
I'm like, but this is going to be, I'm like, but this is my last time ever seeing that man. I know.
Yeah.
I know it. This is my last time ever seeing him or hearing of him ever again. I already knew it. So it was
maybe just, he catches this book 14 days in Beijing. He's like, oh, I know that dude.
Hey, if he do that, I'm like, that's universal. That's how.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, one other character I wanted to ask about is Bruce.
I knew it.
Is Bruce. Like, this is like, I feel like that's another situation. It's like, maybe, you know, who does he have dirt on here in the U.S. that the U.S. has basically abandoned this guy and left him in a Chinese prison? Like, I'm sure I've sort of lost faith in a lot of investigative journalism in this day and time. But I feel like surely there's somebody that has the resources and reach to be able to like dig in to find out this guy's story and who he's got dirt on somewhere. Like, it's such a tragic story. Can you just kind of give a little bit of background on what you understand? Like,
yeah, I mean, just
and how he got his message out, which is very interesting.
So yeah, Bruce is a very interesting character within a very mysterious character because I don't see him.
Right.
I don't know what this man looks like. Nothing.
Never even speak to him.
Not at all. I don't even speak to him. Only way I know who Bruce is because every morning from whatever cell he is in, he shouts out the window. He does his typical speech every morning. And for some reason, the first cell I was in, I never heard it. But when I moved to that second cell, I guess it was closer to where he was. So I was able to hear him. You know, I was able to hear him then. It was just random. The first time it threw my sight, because I'm like, bro, you just listening. Like, yeah, I'm locked up here. It's fucked for me. You know what I'm saying? The U.S. ain't trying to help me out. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knows I'm here. My family and friends probably think I'm dead. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can help me out. You know what I'm saying? Any form of fashion, I give you a $10,000 reward. Da, 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 da. And it's just like, here I am. It's throwing my sight because it's like, one, I've never heard this man before, but I can relate and identify with him a little bit just because here he is. He's been locked up in this cell for over a year. He doesn't know how long he's going to be here. Nobody knows he's here. So just from that aspect of you being here, you don't know how long you're going to be here and nobody knows where you are. That's what's kind of spooked me. Like, oh shit, nigga. I'm like, that could be me.
Yeah.
That could be me. So I was able to easily identify and sympathize for him just off of that alone. Cause that's my situation. Everybody else is selling it. You know what I'm saying? They ain't paying it no mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, y'all don't hear this? Like, y'all just too nonchalant right now. For, you know what I'm saying? For this man to just give us a speech and y'all acting like y'all ain't hear nothing. So yeah, it was just crazy. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to, I tried my best to get as much information as I could to see if I, you know what I'm saying? To at least try to help Buddy out. But it's literally, I'm like, I feel, one, I was told to leave it alone by officers to just leave that shit alone. If not, that shit gonna get you into a lot more trouble. And then, but still, I mean, the universe knows me. So they knew just the officers telling me it wasn't gonna be enough. Literally, every time, because I only know his first name. He says his first and last name. Every time he said his last name, I could not make out what he was saying for the life of me. Even the officers, one officer, you know what I'm saying, brought him up, but he referred to him as his last name. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? He's like, the dude that be yelling in the morning. I'm like, oh, I'm just like, damn, bro. I could not make out what is his last name? I have no clue. Every time he said it, it was somebody said it, I could not make it out to save my life.
Was it an American name or like?
I couldn't even tell you, bro. Mm-hmm. Like literally, Bruce, I hear that fine and clear. When it came to his last name, it's just like, it's just muffled and I don't know what's being said. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'm like, bro, I can't make this up. Like the universe does not want me to know this man's first and last name.
That's what it seems like.
The universe doesn't want me to know this man's name. And I'm like, well, I can't get his first and last name. I got his first name. All right, so I'm paying attention. And every time he gets a speech, I'm just listening, make sure I can get as much detail as I can. And what I was able to write in the book from his speech, that's the best I could get. And it's like everything, any information that was pretty vital to finding out, or at least being able to identify who he is truly, I could not make out what was being said. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? His wife is in Canada. She works at this school. He said the name of school. I couldn't hear that. You know what I'm saying? Just bits, like key pieces that can help like solve this mystery.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't understand what was being said. So it's just like, yeah, I was just like, damn, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing you a service still just because I'm putting your story out there, but you know, man, it's up to the people now to, you know what I'm saying, that's going to read it. And if they really want to look into it and try to look you up, and yeah, it's going to be up to them. I'm doing my part. You know what I'm saying? I'm still helping you out. Even though, you know what I'm saying? I've been told not to. I'm still fucking with you, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The best that I can. So it's like, it's out of my hands at this point.
It feels almost like, you know, somebody with the right resources, like a good investigative journalist could take the name Bruce, that a wife in Canada who's a teacher, somewhere who no longer has whose husband has disappeared within the last 3 years or 5 years even, that you could narrow this search down pretty significantly. If somebody cared. Unfortunately, I feel like, I don't know if that's, I feel like everything is so clickbaity in the news anymore. Is that going to get enough clicks to outweigh the latest, made up division between people?
So that's why I'm like, shit, my bro. Bruce ass probably still there.
Yeah.
To be honest, especially once COVID popped off, I was like, oh yeah, it's really quiet for you, but. You know what I'm saying? Like, once COVID popped off, if you had any chance of hope before, it's completely gone now. You know what I'm saying? It's completely gone now. So, but yeah, ain't no telling, man. It's man. Even you know who Bari is. Bari actually saw Bruce physically.
Whoa.
And Bari is like, hey, he looked like somebody you won't even want to goddamn get involved with. He said, that man look so crazy. Like, he said, I ain't even want nothing to do with cut. I saw him, I was like, hey, I'm straight on it. So I'm
was he kind of like an intimidating physically dude? Nah, or was
it?
Like,
you just look, but you can just think about it, man. You've been locked up in this cell 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for over a year.
Was he in solitary as well?
What'd you say?
Was he in solitary as well, or was?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if he in a cell with other people, or if he's in a cell by himself. I can only hear his voice.
Yeah.
When Bari saw him, because Bari did 31 days.
Oh.
Yeah, Bari did 31 days. I only did
14. Now, clarify, he got arrested for just his cannabis too, right?
Just failed the drug test. That's my roommate. So
30 days?
Yeah, he did 30 days. So he met with the embassy more than once. We both met with the embassy together, of course, but he met with them another time after I had left. And that second time, that's when he saw Bruce. Like, they brought Bruce into the room. Just
wow.
Like, just physically, like, you can, but like I said, you've been here locked up 24/7, probably isolated, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no telling, for over a year. Just, you can just think about where that person can be mentally. And just where that mental state is, how your physical will look just from your mental being.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he just looks. Yeah, he looks thrown. He looks like he is, man. Yeah, he been going through it.
Yeah,
it's like shit. I don't. fucking with you is not going to help my situation. So I can't even really, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a slippery slope, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's crazy. Bruce and Rhino are very, very interesting characters.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely are. You know, I feel like there's movies and books there somewhere. But you know, it's interesting you say that because it is so true that it is very difficult to sometimes help somebody until you get yourself some help. You know, you kind of got to be careful to lend a hand to someone who's in the water drowning while you're also in the water. It's very easy for them to pull you under with them at times. So what is next for you? You know, you've written this book. It's been it seems like wildly popular on Amazon. It's been downloaded so many times. It's ridiculous. What's next? Are you doing more with this book or is there another book in the works or something new?
I plan on releasing two books in the near future. They both piggyback off of 14 Days in Beijing, okay. But completely different genres, completely different stories. They're both romance novels. So I'm truly excited. Yeah,
romance. Romance. We haven't even talked about that. I didn't know romance. This was a side to you, bro.
Hey, I just, you know what I'm saying? I'm just as I go. So
nice. Nice. Well, it's been awesome. Awesome having you on, man. I look forward to the new books and, you know, seeing how they piggyback off of this story as well and continue the journey for you.
It's going to be, they're going to be great reads. Just saying, it's going to be great, great reads. Because the girlfriend I speak of finally throughout 14 days, that's where the romance, you know what I'm saying?
I figured. Yeah.
Mainly women ask me, so what's up with the girlfriend? What's up? You know what I'm saying? You talk about her, you don't get to talk to her. So, you know what I'm saying? How that play out? They want to know, your women's wanting to know, you know what I'm saying, how that situation played out. So I'm like, okay, I got a story for y'all. I mean, I knew that's another story that I could write.
Yeah.
I really wasn't pressed to write it, you know what I'm saying, at that point in time. But once I came across the statistic that said romance is number one selling genre out of all genres, I said, oh, y'all ain't saying number. Y'all should have presented this to me first.
Well, now and you had knew her before you left. So how long had you known her before you went overseas?
So we was in a relationship for over a year and a half. Prior to we met in college, so
right.
It takes place from college, and then the story is pretty much just chronological order leading up to China, and then what took place after China.
So what was her thoughts? You're a year and a half into it, just, you know, kind of setting up, I guess we'll talk a little bit here about your other books now. Like, what was her thoughts about you deciding, I've been with you a year and a half, everything's going great, but I'm going to go over here to the other side of the world for at least a year?
Because it's just like, look at it, because I just same way I had to break it down to her. Just look at it from, remove your emotions. Let's look at it from a logical standpoint. I graduated college. You still have two more years to go. I'm entering the real world. I don't play football no more. I don't know who I am. I got to find my purpose. I got to figure this shit out. You know what I'm saying? Because I have no clue. You know, I did something I got to figure out. I got to learn this. And it wasn't like I wasn't trying to stay here. That I was applying for 8 months straight
right.
for all American positions in Atlanta and in Florida, primarily. Getting landing interviews, getting flown out, put up in hotels, the whole nine. And I kept getting told no. The first place to tell me yes on the other side of the world. First place. This is like, come on, like, this is the first place, you know what I'm saying? Like, I finally got told yes. And something, that, you know what I'm saying, a job that I, at least got told yes to a job that I actually wanted to goddamn do, I'm actually interested in. So it's like, man, this is it. And it's only like a year, you know what I'm saying? It's only going to be a year. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it ain't. We already, she living in Florida at the time. I'm back home in Atlanta. So it's like, we already doing a long distance thing. So it's just like, you feel me?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. What's the difference almost?
It's just going to be a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Now we're just at a greater distance.
Yeah.
But we was already at a great distance. Like, what would be the difference if I was working full-time in Atlanta, you full-time student in Miami, and you working, we still going to go months without seeing, you know what I'm saying? Still going to go great periods of time without seeing each other. So it's just like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Come on,
but yeah, that That's definitely a story. I'm really trying hard to think. I can't really think of a long distance relationship story that has worked out in the end. So like you might be the ultimate long distance story. You were at a long distance. You made the distance even longer.
Yeah.
You went through this crucible as well, you know, that kind of tried your relationship. Because I also know people who have kind of been in those situations where they're in a relationship and, you know, they slip up and they do something, they get in a little bit, you know, it kind of damages, you know, their image a little bit. And, you know, the girl just be like, I'm sorry, you know, I can't be with you no more, you know, but having somebody that's like stays with you through that crucible period, like that's a keeper, you know?
Yeah, I say that in the romance now, I'm like, you finna, cause we both met at Stetson. So I'm like, after I graduated, she's transferring to another school. So she's not going to go to Stetson no more. She's going to a bigger school actually. So I'm like, okay, yeah, shit going to change. I know it's going to be a lot of change. And now I'm entering the real world. You transfer to an even bigger school. So you're going to have more of a college experience and you're a small town girl. So it was like, I know change is inevitable. But I know, you know what I'm saying, a lot's going to change within, you know what I'm saying, our dynamic and our situation. And I knew, especially once I was like finna get ready to go to China, I'm like, yeah, this is going to make or break us. This experience right here, this the ultimate test right here, for sure. And shit, we'll see. We'll see at the end of the tunnel, like, you know what I'm saying, where we at with it. So,
I was just going to say, change is like the only constant in life. You just have to embrace it.
Yeah, it's inevitable. Things change, people change, feelings change. Yeah, I mean, but resisting change, we hold on. Accepting change, we let go.
That is it. You know, I think so many people have expectations of this or that, or you know, even of themselves, quite honestly, and those expectations sort of become traps in some regards. You know, if you let go of those expectations and just go for the things where your passion and your love and, you know, your inspiration drives you and takes you, I think that's the path of least resistance, even though it might not always be the most direct path. Yeah, that's part of the journey. It's not a destination, because even the most successful people, you know, seem to, even once they reach that level of attainment of success, they still have this other thing they're searching for, they're still pushing for. And, you know, I personally don't think it ever ends. I kind of think that I hope I'm that way till the day I die. I hope I'm kind of curious and driven and learning something new and trying something different and continuing to grow and expand. And it's always bothered me to see people that, you know, especially, you know, you mentioned small towns. I myself am from a small town, you know, back east as well. And, you know, I never understood the people that graduated college and then just kind of stopped their evolution. They didn't really travel. They didn't really experience anything new beyond that. And who they were at 25, you know, and looking at it now, and as you approach your 30s and 40s and stuff, the evolution really hasn't occurred that much. So I find that very kind of interesting as well. You've kind of got to just accept the change and not have those expectations, you know, just kind of let life, like you said, you know, sometimes the path is cleared and it's very obvious, you know, where it's supposed to go, even though it might not be your most ideal situation or experience.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? And man, just how I am, I'm like, bro, I got to make some shake. I'm a Sagittarius. I set high expectations and goals for myself. I put a lot of pressure on myself to succeed, you know what I'm saying, and meet those goals. So if I'm not doing that, then it's to hell with everything else, dead ass. Like, that's just how I am. To hell with everything else until I get this shit figured out and situated. Then once we back on the, you know what I'm saying? But until then, I got to figure this out, man. I was like that, even with football, like trying to figure out where I was going to play ball at, you know what I'm saying? After high school, it's like, bro, I didn't go to prom. I didn't go to spring break. I ain't give a fuck about none of that shit, bro. I'm like, bro, until I figure out where I am playing ball next year, none of this shit matters. nothing about the senior, none of that shit matters. That shit don't mean nothing. for real. It only means as much meaning what you make it mean. You know what I'm saying? As much meaning you give it, that's how much it means. You know what I'm saying? That shit don't mean nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? What am I going to do? What's going to be my longevity? So, you know, then I figured it out. You know what I'm saying? I ended up figuring it out. You know what I'm saying? So it's, that's just how I am, man. Just, what's up? You know what I'm saying? I got a goal in mind or just something that I'm trying to accomplish. Shit, man. Only thing that's going to stop me is me.
I think that's what most people don't realize is that, you know, there are obviously external obstacles, but it's up to us whether or not we decide to persevere and have the discipline to kind of overcome those obstacles or not. I also think it's a really interesting point you make about like things are what you value. The value you place on them determines, you know, really the value of their worth. And everybody's different. Everybody has different values. Like, you know, I think that that's what makes the world kind of go round. But I think it's also a good indicator of why it's important to evaluate what it is that you're valuing in life at different parts of your journey.
Oh, definitely. On me. On me.
Well, man, I'm looking really forward to the new books as well. And I'm sure the ladies out there in the world, well, not just ladies, everybody loves, you know, we need more love in the world in general. So I'm looking forward to those and tell people where they can check you out until those books come out. Where can people find you in 14 days in Beijing at?
For sure, man. The best way to find anything geared towards me or get your copies of 14 days in Beijing. Man, the best search engine we have here in America, Google. Just Google me, baby. 14 days of Beijing, Chancellor K. Jackson. Everything you need pops straight up. No cap. No cap. Yeah. I also have a free version available of 14 days on Amazon and Apple Books and Kobo, which is the first three chapters of the book. Get your feet wet. Get you acclimated to the story. By the time you get done with that, you're like, man, I got to finish the rest of this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know what I'm saying? I got a free version available just for those that just want to try it out. Get a feel for it. So
I can attest to that. I accidentally selected the free version the first time and I read the first three chapters and I was like, this can't be the whole book. And sure enough, I was like, the first three leave you wanting to finish the book. Cause by then you're like, man, I what happens to this guy? Like what's going to happen?
No facts.
Is he going to end up being a Bruce?
Hey, man, we don't know. We hope not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, obviously not. You wrote the book. So, you know, it's a great story, you know, and I highly encourage people read it. And, you know, I wish you good luck on everything else. You know, it's been great having you here and talking with you about your experience in China and the way that cannabis played a role in your journey and things like that as well. Do you ever see yourself getting in that game? You know, it's tides are turning here in the U.S. It's a little slower there in Georgia area, but it's inevitable, right? You know,
yeah. So yeah, definitely, I see myself. I'd love to come out with a 14 days of Beijing strain. That'd be dope.
Ah, yeah. I see a collab in the future.
Yeah, we are. So yeah, just marketing all in. Yeah, yeah, I'll do that shit.
Word. Sure. All right, well, man, it's been great having you on. Thank you again so much, and thank you for everybody for joining today. This has been another episode of The Evolved Idiots. If you like the content, please like, follow, subscribe. You can check us out wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also check us out video on YouTube. If you want to see uncensored footage that YouTube won't censor, you can also check us out on Rumble and Odyssey. Until next time, peace, love, and power to the people.